She brings the boxes down from the attic, each one a little different. Plain corrugated cardboard for one. Another once held peaches, fresh picked from the orchard. Yet another once held office paper. Their outward plainness belies their bright contents. One at a time, she sets them on the floor around her feet, and then turns to face the object of her attention. The tree stands before her, its bare branches beckoning to her with anticipation. She begins opening boxes and perusing their contents. She spies her first quarry, a tangled skein of electrical wires and bulbs, and begins the slow, meticulous process of unentanglement. As each set is unwoven, she plugs it in and checks it. Anything that does not light is replaced. Oops, the thing just started blinking. We can't have that. She fishes about for a replacement for that particular replacement. At last, when all the lines are straightened and all the lights are lit, she wraps the twinkling strands among the bare branches, stepping back occasionally to check for dark spots, and rearrange them into light. When the last strand is in place and the light is even, she steps back one more time to admire, and then pauses to make a cup of tea. And now the treasure hunt begins. She chooses a box at random, and one at a time she lifts out one memory after another. The colorful birds that brought such joy to her mother's face. The clay sheep and donkey that her younger brother made in grade school. The crystal icicles that her older brother sent home when he was stationed in Europe. The silly cartoon character that a friend gave her as a joke. Even the little blue sand heart pendant she herself made in kindergarten. Every bit of old tissue paper that she lifts out, when unwrapped, reveals another short story in her family's history. And she greets each as an old friend, some with laughter, some with a tear, but always with love. Out of habit, she puts the fragile ones as high up in the tree as possible, even though she has no child's hand, cat's paw, or dog's tail to knock them loose from the lower branches. And finally, she opens the last box and lovingly hangs the last ornament. That leaves the tinsel. She's always a bit conflicted about the tinsel, as it's such a hassle, but the tree never seems complete without it. She smiles at the memory that floods in, of her brothers standing back and throwing great handfuls of tinsel at the tree in random globs, with her mother chasing after them and admonishing them, "That's not how you put tinsel on a tree." She raises the last of her now cold tea in a toast to her mother's practicality and begins placing a few solitary strands of tinsel in a light dusting around the branches. And suddenly the moment comes when she looks at the tree and knows it is done. She packs up the wayward bits of tissue and spare bulbs into the now empty boxes and trots the boxes off to the nearby closet. She pours another cup of tea and reaches for a cookie. And she quietly raises a toast to the tree and all of the ghosts of Christmas past who sit with her admiring it.